Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off and rolling. Happy Friday. August 22nd, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on XG_Kuhn71. Alongside me, as always, executive producer of the program, that would be Connor Dunning on X at C929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
It's going great because the Roman Empire has taken over New York City.
Yeah. 6-1 against the Yankees so far this year? Is that what it is? I think I saw that.
I don't
know. Red Sox versus Yankees?
I'm not going to jinx nothing. All I know is that Roman Anthony, is he taking the baton of the Yankee killer and running with it?
Yep.
That's my hope.
And also, you heard it off the top of the show, very happy to introduce a new show sponsor, title and presenting sponsor, Caesar Sportsbook at the Horseshoe Tunica. We will have events throughout the football season that you could stop by at. We will give you the details on all of that, but it will be very, very fun. They have gotten that Caesar Sportsbook up and running. It looks great.
It's beautiful. We're going to spend some time down there. A lot of fun details to come.
Yeah. Make sure you get down to Tunica, by the way. Make sure you get down to Tunica. Great stuff. Great stuff, as always. Now, 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We have a lot to get to. And quite frankly, it feels like very little time, even though we have 3 hours. I want to open on where I think I was wrong about Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart has looked awesome in the preseason with the Giants, and it does beg the question, Russell Wilson likely the starter. Will Jackson Dart eventually take over? Will he have a chance to start some games this year? We don't expect the Giants to be a playoff team, but they could be scrappy. Will Jackson Dart get some time as a starter for the New York Giants? We had to move around the schedule a little bit, so first hour, 4:30, is trip around the National Football League, and that will be like that throughout the college football season because we will have some picks for you at 5:30 with Lee Sterling. 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join the show from CBS Sports. We'll talk about Week 0. 6 o'clock, Parker Fleming on some Grizzlies. Lease update, how does he feel? He also wrote about Jalen Wells, and he posed the question, can Jalen Wells be the next great perimeter defender that wears a Memphis Grizzlies jersey? He found some really good stuff in there. I suggest for you out there, go subscribe to Substack Elitist, first of all, but go read that article by Parker. And then at the end of the first hour, after we get to a trip around the National Football League, I try to highlight some good Samaritans around the city. And we know that coming up on August 30th, the University of Memphis will take on Chattanooga in their home opener and their opener of the season. And there is a guy by the name of John Stacy, who is a veteran, who does really good things for people at the VA and veterans as far as getting tickets to the University of Memphis football games and finding a way to enjoy them. Obviously, it's a foundation to a certain extent that he has started, but we'll talk to him about that, how you can help, and what you need to do, where you need to go to help. All right, now I have to open. Also, we'll have weekend winners at the end of the show. That's coming back. I have three picks. Only, what, five games? Five games in FBS, and I have three picks for you. So, last night, I am watching my television, watching NFL Network, and the Giants are playing. And they absolutely dismantled the Patriots. 42-10 in the preseason. They're 3-0, so they went 3-0 in the preseason. They look solid, but, you know, I have been watching this entire preseason, highlighting rookie quarterbacks. We saw Shador play really well with the Browns in his first bit of action. Dylan Gabriel was fine in the second game. We've seen some good performances. I think Cam Ward has been solid, but there's one guy that I, going into the preseason, going into the draft in April, I thought he was a developmental guy. I thought he was a guy who played a lot of college offense, if you will, when he was at the collegiate level at USC and also when he was at Ole Miss. And I didn't know how that would translate. So I thought there would be this learning curve for one Jackson Dart, who is the 25th overall pick to the New York Giants after they traded up, of course, out of Ole Miss. But last night he goes 6 for 12, 81 yards, one touchdown, and of course he had the one carry for 23 yards on 4th and 4 where he didn't get down. Ole Miss fans know all about that. He didn't get down. He got licked up, and he's in concussion protocol now. He's in concussion protocol. Brian Daboll, of course, just said, "Oh, he got the air knocked out of him.
Did you hear what Jeffrey said earlier?
What?
He said that's the new. He has a concussion.
He got the wind knocked out of him. But yeah, he needed to get down there. That's my one complaint about him. But so far, through preseason, Jackson Dart has balled out. He has played unbelievably well. 80% adjusted completion percentage, 424 total yards, 4 total touchdowns, no interceptions. And if you go to PFF, you know how I feel about PFF grades, but it does give us some type of reference point. He is number one among rookies in the preseason with a minimum of 20 snaps, 88.5% PFF grade. He has just made the right reads at the right time, thrown the ball where it needs to go, gotten through his progressions, as opposed to what I thought he was going to be coming into the league. And I've come to this realization about Jackson Dart after having watched him through these 3 preseason games. Something I discounted when I was talking about him around the NFL draft and talking about him going to the New York Giants is how much football he has learned from really good football minds. He's at USC with Lincoln Riley. I don't need to give you Lincoln Riley's resume, but I'll do it anyway. Number one pick in Kyler Murray. Number one pick in Baker Mayfield. Multiple Heisman-winning quarterbacks. Number one pick in Caleb Williams. We know all about what he can do for a quarterback, how he can teach that quarterback, and what goes into it. And then next, he takes his career over to Lane Kiffin. And Lane Kiffin may run sort of a college-style offense. It doesn't always translate to the National Football League, but he's done a good job with quarterbacks and done a good job with just being as productive as possible on the offensive side of the ball. There's different run schemes. There's audibles. There's deep downfield passing, vertical passing game. That was definitely learned by Jackson Dart within the Lane Kiffin system. And then he gets dropped into a place, well, I don't know what the future holds for the New York Giants, if Joe Shane, their GM, is going to be around long-term if they lose a bunch this year, or if Brian Daboll is going to be around a long time if they lose a bunch this year. But then he gets dropped into a situation with Brian Daboll. And you can think what you want about Brian Daboll, but he helped facilitate Daniel Jones getting a $35 million a year contract. And if you remember Josh Allen and his time with Josh Allen in Buffalo, Josh Allen came into the league as a developmental guy, really big, strong, all the physical attributes, didn't know how to get through his progressions, didn't throw the ball all that well. And Brian Daboll helped him step into being a franchise quarterback, commanding a huddle, and being able to throw the ball better than just about anybody in the National Football League. So I think when I was talking about Jackson Dart around the draft and the New York Giants taking him, I looked at his time with Lane Kiffin, looked at that offense, and just assumed that there was going to be a learning curve. But I think the truth of the matter is Brian Daboll will play to his strengths. And also, I discounted that Jackson Dart has learned football from some of the best offensive minds in the sport of football as we know it, in Lincoln Riley, Lane Kiffin, Brian Daboll. But he's been very, very impressive, and I do now have the question, no Russell Wilson's going to start, but at what point do you think they turn to Jackson Dart? Because I feel like he will probably start games this year.
You know, to be honest, with some of the discussion we've been having recently involving Anthony Richardson, the way I've been viewing Jackson Dart and his success in the preseason, it's very exciting for the New York Giants. And I think one of the reasons it can be exciting is there's relatively no expectation for this Giants team next season. They're not supposed to be a playoff team. They're not supposed to be contending at all. So the way I view it, I think that they should sit him all next year. Let him learn behind Russell Wilson. Let him get his reps. If Russell Wilson gets hurt or something like that, or he's truly awful, sure, throw him in. But if Russell Wilson is serviceable for a season for you and you're not dog water,
yeah,
I don't mind Jackson Dart sitting and learning and continuing to soak in information from really good offensive minds around him. Because, listen, I know this is going to sound crazy, but like even Jameis Winston being in that quarterback room with him is not the worst thing in the world. Right. Tommy DeVito, not the worst thing in the world. Like, they have a good quarterback room. We know that Daboll can have success with young quarterbacks. I don't mind Jackson Dart just sitting next year and learning behind a probable Hall of Fame quarterback in Russell Wilson.
Yep, I don't mind it at all. I am totally for if they decide they want to sit him all year, and if Russell Wilson gets hurt, they throw in Tommy DeVito or Jameis Winston, that's fine with me. But what I have learned from watching the National Football League and young quarterbacks and their development is when you get to the end of the season and you don't really have playoff aspirations and you don't feel like the guy that's starting is your future because Russell Wilson's not their future. They took a first-round pick in Jackson Dart. You see guys at the end of the year, rookies, who have learned for, 13, 14, 15 games. You see them get starts at the end of the year. So you can give the fan base some hope heading into the next season when that guy fully takes over.
That makes sense to me. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like the final 2 weeks or something.
But I do not mind your thought process in the slightest. If you want to sit him for an entire year, we saw it work with Patrick Mahomes. We saw it work way back in the day with a bunch of different quarterbacks sitting for a year. Aaron Rodgers is a good example of that with Brett Favre in Green Bay. We've seen it work with a lot of different guys. But we know that there is, in today's NFL, there's a pressure to throwing in the new shiny toy. And by the end of the year, I could see that happening for this Giants team. Now, if this Giants team is in a playoff race and they could get a wild card spot, I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen because that would tell you that Russell Wilson has played good enough to get them to that point. But if they are, by the end of the year, only winning 5-6 games, you have 2 more weeks, you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, throw Jackson Dart in there and let him get some run. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not sold that he's not the best quarterback in that room right now, based on what I've seen in the preseason. Now, I know it's preseason. You could discount it all you want.
Russell Wilson?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson at this point, he's fine.
He was good last year.
He was okay.
He was good last year. No. He was good.
Let's not overdo what he did.
Saying somebody's good is not overdoing it. He was good last year.
Right.
He was.
But he's not what he was with the Seahawks.
No.
He's not that type of guy anymore. He still can rely on his legs to a certain extent. I'll be honest. I'm not convinced that Russell Wilson is head and shoulders above what I saw from Jackson Dart in the preseason.
I don't mind that take. But he was good. He was good last year. The thing though about quarterbacks is it kind of ends fast. Like, and that could be coming for a guy like Russell Wilson. We just don't know. But it's just, if I was a Giants fan, I would be really excited because you don't have to rush this process along with Jackson Dart. Again, if you somehow find yourself in a playoff race, which I just don't think they're really going to be in, but who knows? They may surprise.
Brian Daboll surprised us once. But that was Saquon Barkley, to be fair.
That is very true. But he is a good coach, and if they decide Russell Wilson isn't enough for them, throwing in Jackson Dart, trying to give the team a spark, I can understand that. But I would give it a little bit before throwing him into the fire. I did want to ask you, what is the biggest difference you've seen from Jackson Dart at Ole Miss versus Giants?
To be honest with you, it's kind of funny. I think getting through his progressions with the intermediate passing game is one of the biggest things I have seen from him so far in the preseason. But to be completely frank with you, there's not that big of a difference. He was highly productive at Ole Miss. He was very good at Ole Miss. And I think when Brian Daboll got his hands on Jackson Dart, and Brian Daboll's this type of coach. I always talk about good versus great coaches. Good coaches have their style, and they try to make you fit it. And great coaches, I think, look at their personnel and fit their scheme to their personnel. I've seen a lot of that from Brian Daboll. He's letting them run RPOs. He's letting them get easy reads. He's letting them get now routes to get himself going, and then he'll open it up a little bit more. So I haven't, like, in the grand scheme of things, I haven't seen that big of a difference because I think Brian Daboll is playing to his strengths right now because that's what Brian Daboll does.
Is one of the biggest lessons rookie quarterbacks need to learn about the NFL is if you don't get down, you get punished. Well, that's hear what Arch Manning said? He said every single time his grandfather gets off the phone with him, he says, get down or get out of bounds.
Yes.
Listen, you may have been able to absorb hits from college football players. NFL's a different beast.
If it's a fourth, third or a fourth down and you have to go get a first down and there's somebody that's going to, meet you with some
force,
a little bit of force, sure, put your head down and try to go get it. But last night, Jackson Dart on that 23-yard run, It's like, dude, just slide. You already have a first down. You've gained 20 yards. Get on the ground.
It reminded me of that.
That is a difference because in college, he probably had the idea, I could take this to the house.
Right.
I could make this one guy miss, but he didn't feel the guy over his left shoulder. And, of course, guy over his left shoulder makes a tackle. He falls directly on the ball, hits his head, and now he's out of the game.
It reminded me of that scene from Invincible where Mark Wahlberg, he's just running down, and he just never sees that guy
de-cleated.
Coming. And just gets de-cleated. It's just, you know that in his head, he was like, I'm gonna take this to the house. It's gonna be a highlight, and then bam! All of a sudden, concussion. It happens that fast for these rookie quarterbacks. It's just every time I see them, I'm just yelling at the just get down. It's not worth it, especially in a preseason game.
Yeah, but point being with this conversation, Jackson Dart has some real promise.
Good player,
and I am way more bought into his NFL prospects than I ever have been. Especially with how I was talking about him around the 2025 NFL draft in April. All right, now we have week zero on the way. We know that we're going to be watching Iowa State and Kansas State, ESPN 11 a.m. in Dublin, Ireland tomorrow. What else are we going to be paying attention to very closely? What other games? I know there's only five to choose from, but what else are we looking at? What will we have on the TV? I do hate the fact that we have an 11 a.m. game and the next game that we can realistically watch is on Fox at 5:30. So we're gonna have a bit of a time pass before we get some more action. But I've come to sort of I want to pay close attention, and I don't have Mountain West Network. I want to pay close attention to UNLV just for the purposes of the Group of Six and Memphis and where they fit into this whole thing. UNLV with Dan Mullen is going to be a very interesting watch, even though they're playing Idaho State, who's not very good. They're 26.5-point favorites.
I'm interested in Kansas, seeing what Kansas football could be, because we know that they're getting
and Jalen Daniels in year 85.
An insane amount of donations are going to the Kansas Athletic Department.
$300 million.
Isn't it the biggest gift in college athletics history?
Yep, I believe
so. I don't know. I'm curious to see what Kansas is going to look like. I always think that games in Hawaii are cool, and Stanford in Hawaii could end up being kind of an ugly, good football game at the end of the day.
You know who the favorite is?
Yeah, it's Hawaii.
Hawaii, 2.5-point favorite. If you have not paid attention to the Stanford situation, it is just
not
bizarre.
Great.
It's bizarre. They lost their starting quarterback. They lost their best wide receiver, Alec Iomanner, to the NFL. They lost their best defensive end to somebody else. Andrew Luck comes in as the GM, and they give him basically all the power in the world to make whatever decision he wants. He brings in Frank Reich for a year before he moves on to a new coach because Troy Taylor had the bullying allegations behind the scenes, and Andrew Luck had a quick trigger on him. That Stanford team, I will say, I know it starts, it's 6:30 CBS. Hawaii versus Stanford's not usually a game you watch, but it is week zero. You have limited choices. I want to see how bad Stanford is. I know they're going to be bad. I know they're going to be really, really bad. I want to see how bad we're talking. Are we talking like Mac level, mid-level Mac, or are we talking just a bad power conference team, which, you know.
What type of game is Iowa State and Kansas State going to be?
Oh, it seems
like it could be really boring. It has the potential to be one of those.
Traveling overseas.
Yeah.
Maybe a little jet lag. And both these teams.
Not high-powered.
Listen, Iowa State was high-powered last year. But they had two wide receivers who were picked in the top 150 in the NFL draft. Jaden Higgins and Jalen Nowell. So it's like I don't know what it's going to look like now for them. Now, they have the opportunity, if they find wide receivers, if they have found wide receivers to take them into the future that obviously aren't named Jaden Higgins and Jalen Nowell, they could light it up to a certain extent. Rocco Becht has proven that he's a decent passer of the football, and he can spread the ball around, and they can be explosive at times. Kansas State, I can't say the same thing about. I know they have a good quarterback, a guy that they think highly of, an Avery Johnson, four-star, one of the highest-rated quarterback recruits they've ever had, but they're still, it's Chris Klieman. They're going to run the ball, grind it out, play action, play good defense. So I think it's on Iowa State to show us that this can be a shootout and it can be interesting and fun from an offensive perspective.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Over under is 50.5. Does it hit the over?
I don't know if it can. It very well can.
If they weren't going to Ireland, I think I would probably say it would. But that travel might be difficult.
It can hit the over. I would probably lean under just because I'm not going to buy into Iowa State's offense losing those two wide receivers. And I know Kansas State is going to grind the game out, ball control, do all of that.
It's really interesting. Three of the five games, their over-under is 50.5.
Fresno State, Kansas, Stanford, Hawaii, and Iowa State, Kansas State. Does that tell us that they don't quite know what to expect? Is this the default total that they just put out there for week zero?
Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe so.
Yeah, but I'm very curious how that figures itself out, because also I've been talking about it all week, and I know I sound like a broken record, but Matt Campbell, when he has that number attached to his name at Iowa State, they tend to fall a little bit short. And if he loses this first game against Kansas State, they fall out of the AP Top 25. But when he doesn't have those expectations, he seems to roll. 11-win season last year, and they weren't ranked in the preseason. So that always seems to be front of mind when we talk about Iowa State. And I still, for the life of me, and I enjoy loyalty. Loyalty is a lost art. It's a lost art form. But Matt Campbell still being at Iowa State after 10 years is insane to me. He had a Bears offer. He's had I think he was involved in the Florida State opening when that came open. He's had so many opportunities to get out of Iowa State, and he has stayed loyal, which I am fine with, but I feel like there's only so much you can do at that place, right? There's not some unbelievable ceiling that you can burst through at Iowa State.
Maybe he enjoys making a lot of money, winning enough football games, and just every year he's kind of got it. Like, if you look at their schedule this
year. Like, they can win five games and his job's fine.
Right, yeah. But their schedule this year is not difficult. Like, they open with Kansas State. And then they don't play another ranked team until Arizona State.
Yeah. Maybe he just enjoys the Iowa State Fair, by the way. One of the best state fairs in America. I've been to it in Des Moines. Fried butter.
Oh, God.
Fried butter and say, they have some good food.
I'd have to eat an entire thing of Tums to be able to eat fried butter.
I hear that. All right, now we need to take a trip around the National. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it. What do you think I'm talking about when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, Connor?
Probably Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons.
Yeah! Well, really just Micah Parsons. We'll talk about Jerry Jones as it relates to Micah Parsons. He joined the Stephen A. Smith show on YouTube yesterday.
Yikes!
And gave out one of the worst quotes I've ever heard in my entire life. It had to do with the mean old mama and the nice dad.
Just nonsense.
Kind of ridiculous. But Micah Parsons has scrubbed his social media of anything relating to the Cowboys. The only thing he did do was post a bunch of pictures of him in a Cowboys uniform on TikTok. But he has removed Dallas Cowboys from all of his bios, and that's where we're at with this whole thing. This is such nonsense. I know Jerry Jones loves it. He gets to get in front of Stephen A. Smith. Everybody wants to talk to him because of the Micah thing. But damn. I learned a stat today that is just mind-boggling when you really think about how Jerry Jones is trying to play this. When Micah Parsons, since he's been in the league, right, 4 years, since he's been in the league, EPA per play, when he is on the field, the Dallas Cowboys are first. They're the best in the NFL as a defense when he is on the field. When he is off the field, so those four games last year, when he got injured, they're 32 out of 32 when he's off the field in EPA per play. And that's expected points against. And I know that that's advanced analytics, but it does tell a story. They're very good when he's on the field. They're very bad when he's off. So this situation and Micah as a talent, it seems open and shut. But he doesn't want to negotiate with David Mulugeta. He keeps saying stupid things. And quite frankly, Connor, how do you feel about this? It's just offensive. It's offensive things at this point. It's gotten to a point where it's completely personal, and he can have all of this, you know, bluster and confidence that Micah will suit up week one against the Eagles, but I don't buy that in the slightest. I just don't. He hasn't participated in camp. He's got a back issue. He's asked for a trade. It just does not seem like Jerry is going to get what he wants out of this until, you know what, he pays him. But I don't even know if Micah Parsons wants to be paid by Jerry Jones at this moment. It doesn't seem like he does.
I think the most ridiculous thing about this all is it was so unnecessary. You could have done this months ago, and you wouldn't have to pay him the price you have to pay him now.
And the fact that
you negotiate against yourself.
Jerry is hanging his hat on a meeting that he called with Micah this offseason about leadership. That's what Micah Parsons said it was. He wanted to talk to him about his leadership role on the team. That devolved into a contract negotiation where Micah was just sitting there with the owner of the team and was just talking through it. Jerry thought they agreed on something. Micah says they didn't. This meeting was not supposed to be about this. You have to talk to my agent. And Jerry's hanging his hat on that like it means something.
Well, he's acting like Micah Parsons wanting to use his agent to negotiate his contract is some snake in the grass move. What are you talking about?
We'll talk about it a bit later. I think it's the agent.
Sure.
Like the personal agent, David Mulugeta. Because of the Deshaun Watson, $230 million guaranteed fully, and we know about the collusion behind the scenes. But can I ask you this question? I know you haven't dug into the gambler, you know, Cowboys series with Jerry Jones. Has he ever been good at this?
No.
Like the personnel decisions?
He's never been good at this, no.
And he takes credit for it, that's for sure.
Well, of course he does.
I've learned that... He wants to get as much credit as possible, like the Herschel Walker trade back in the day that got the whole thing sparked where they got a bunch of additional draft picks because they dropped all the players that they got from the Herschel Walker trade. Jimmy Johnson is the guy who suggested that and did it. Jerry Jones just picked up the phone and made the calls.
Oh, and then
Jerry Jones then on the back end takes all the credit for it, and that's why Jimmy Johnson
was out. The best thing that happened to the Cowboys at that time was Jimmy Johnson. He said, get out of here.
This is going to sound crazy. Is the worst thing for the Cowboys at this point, like looking back at it, is the worst thing that could have happened to all those Super Bowls in the 90s? Like, honestly, because it gave Jerry Jones this ego and this thought process about what he was building and how good he was at this when it was other people making decisions for him. And now here in 2025, he thinks he's still the best at it. And I don't know if he ever was the best at it.
No, he was the best.
He's good at creating drama. He's good at creating headlines. He's good at keeping his team in the headlines and talked about. And that equals money. That equals butts in seats. That equals a lot of different things. Well, but it doesn't equal wins.
Don't we have an example of him trying to do this with Emmitt Smith?
Yeah.
And they immediately had to pay him.
They were
2 games into the season. They were like, oh, yeah, my bad, dude.
And they proceeded. They signed him back, proceeded to go 12-2 and get the number one seed.
It's almost like when your best player...
And win the Super Bowl, mind you.
Yeah, it's almost like when your best player is asking for a new contract, you should pay him.
Yeah.
Especially when it's deserved.
So we talked about this. Brian Robinson Jr. with the Washington Commanders, who was their lead, he's been their lead back for the past 2 years, he became expendable this offseason. The reason he became expendable was because Jacory Kroski-Merritt from Arizona has come along and the Commanders expect him to do big things. And he's done some good things in preseason, but in camp, in practices, that's where he has really shined. But Brian Robinson was traded to the 49ers today. 49ers, they need more wide receiver help. Talked about it yesterday. Tried to get Sky Moore. Maybe they can make him into something, but I'm betting against that. If Andy Reid can't make you into something as a wide receiver with Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan can do it. Kyle Shanahan's a good coach in his own right. Different system altogether, not as open. I want to see how that works. But it feels like the 49ers are just trying to get as much offensive help as possible. They have this expensive quarterback that won 6 games last year when he didn't have a full cupboard. They're just trying to get him as many pieces as possible. And they're doing the bargain bin thing. And we'll see how it plays out. I think once Brandon Ayuk comes back for the 49ers, if he's back at full health, they will be rolling offensively. But I'm going to have to see this to believe it. I do think that Brian Robinson as a thunder to Christian McCaffrey's lightning, short yardage guy potentially, I like that. But I still have my doubts about the San Francisco 49ers. The Vikings, get this, they're looking for some wide receiver help because Jordan Addison has been suspended 3 games dating back to DUI he got last offseason. They've inquired about their old wide receiver, Adam Thielen. They're trying to see if they can trade for Adam Thielen before the season starts. Now, Adam Thielen, of course, saw his best success with the Minnesota Vikings. In 2017, 91 catches for 1,276 yards. 2018, 113 catches for 1,373 yards. Last year he played with the Minnesota Vikings, he completely fell off. In 17 games, 70 catches, 716, still decent, but with the amount of times he was targeted, it just wasn't the same. He's never been a fast guy. He's always been a route running guy who makes contested catches. I guess he could help them. Justin Jefferson, when Jordan Addison comes back, and Adam Thielen, that would be one of the best wide receiver rooms for my money in the National Football League. But it feels like it's a little bit late, and I don't know if the Panthers want to trade Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen caught for 1,000 yards year one with the Carolina Panthers, and then in 10 games caught for 615 yards. And they have a young quarterback that they want to have a full cupboard for in Bryce Young to start the year to see really what they have. This is sort of a make-or-break year for Bryce Young after being drafted number one a couple of years ago. I don't know if Adam Thielen is going to be traded, but the Vikings are looking for a reunion. One of the more under-discussed, unknown guys in the National Football League that has just been very, very good his entire career. Never been that all-pro. He's been a Pro Bowler before. But Taylor Moton, their right tackle. 2 years, $44 million extension, $40 million guaranteed. Very well worth it. He's a guy who gives back to their community a whole lot. But he's been playing right tackle there for 8 years. For 8 years, and has made a couple of Pro Bowl teams. And no one really knows Taylor Moton, but just had to throw that out there. Second year in a row where in the preseason the Steelers have their first round pick injured. Derek Harmon goes down with a sprained knee. He's going to be eligible for IR to start the season, which would keep him out a minimum of 4 weeks, first 4 games of the year. But last year, Troy Fautanu, who they brought in, it's going to be their right tackle this year, or at least play along that offensive line, he got injured in the preseason. So they're not having a whole bunch of luck. And as we get closer, as we've inched closer and we've got camp reports, Connor, do you feel any different about the Steelers? How do you feel about the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers and Jalen Ramsey? And I mean, I know that the easy thing to do is just sort of shrug your shoulders and be like, I don't know, we'll see, we'll watch it. But, like, how genuinely do you feel? Do you think they'll make the playoffs coming up this year?
Oh, man, I think that they're going to be in the playoff race. I think that they'll certainly be in the playoff race. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. If you get a fully healthy season of Aaron Rodgers, I do think that they'll have a shot at it. It's just you have a couple of other teams right around their skill level that I think are going to be battling it out. It's going to be fascinating in the AFC.
And
like, who's going to get that wild card spot?
Forgive me for this, but a bunch of old guys playing in the rough and tumble AFC North, it concerns the hell out of me. I think this season,
the Bengals better is going to make it difficult for them.
It's about Aaron Rodgers' health, yes, but also what's tied to Aaron Rodgers' health? Offensive line. I think it really does come down to how clean can they keep him, because we know he can't move as well as he once did. We know he's not as good off platform because of his age at 41. I think it comes down to that offensive line. How do they look? How do they gel? And how do they hold up in pass protection?
Well, it's just, how many wins do you think it's going to take to make it to the playoffs?
10. Just like last year, 10.
10?
10. I think you get one of those wild card spots at 10 wins, just like they did a year ago. So we'll see. We shall see. Now we need to go ahead and transition. And coming up next, I'd like to talk to some Good Samaritans around the city. And John Stacy is one of those. John Stacy puts together packages of tickets for veterans at the VA hospital. So we'll talk to him about how you can help. And really his mission in doing all of this, that's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Tiger football team opens up their season next Saturday hosting Chattanooga, the Mocs. But I know one guy that's ripping and roaring and happy for that. That would be John Stacy. He joins me now right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. John, how's it going?
Well, I'm laughing at you at the moment. You sent me a text last week, right? You said 3:45.
Oh, okay. All right. I meant 4:45. I get on the air at 4. You should. That's my mistake. Sir.
I know, but if I don't have some fun with you with it, there's something wrong.
I hear you. But reason you're on today, you started this a few years back. You do tickets for veterans at the Memphis VA Hospital. Tiger football. And you're a veteran yourself. Let my listeners know, and I know you've talked to Jeff on these airwaves before, Jeff Calkins, let my listeners know your mission and what you do.
Basically, what we do is we have fans buy tickets, so the school benefits as well. Buy tickets for veterans at the Memphis VA Hospital. These are veterans with things like PTSD. They're in drug and alcohol rehab programs. They have other mental health issues. Some of them are even homeless. Mm-hmm. And get them to the Tiger football games has just done wonders for them over the years. And our biggest cheerleader and biggest helper in all this is Ryan Silverfield. Mm-hmm. Ryan's made a couple of trips down to the VA with me. And he sat and talked to veterans for hours. They had the Golden Age games, and he was down there with that. But what we do is it's real simple. You call 901-678-1740, and you talk to Wesley. And Wesley, you just tell him you want to call and send some veterans to the game. He will hook you right up. The tickets are $10. If you want to buy a season ticket, I've got a one-of-a-kind item, a painting of Tom that hung in the athletic department for years. I'll be more than happy to give that to the first person who buys three season tickets or an equivalent there, too. But it's this program has done so much good for so many veterans over the years. I'm real proud of it. And my guy, Byron Williams, down at the VA, works his butt off, too, because they actually transport them as well. Mm-hmm. It's not like we give them the tickets and they show up. We have to transport many of them because they don't have vehicles.
Yep.
And sometimes they're inpatients. But we've done a lot of good with this program. And a matter of fact, you sat with me one night when we did this. So we've been doing it now for about 10 years.
Yep.
And it's done a lot of good for a lot of veterans, and we're proud of it, and we want to keep it going. Let me say that number again, 678-1740. And for those of you who haven't been around the Memphis area for long, 678 prefix, that was actually MSU. Mm-hmm. So back when it was Memphis State, they gave all the phone numbers at the university 678.
901 MSU. I didn't know that. I had no idea about that. Now, over the years, you say you've been doing it for 10 years. How many veterans have you sent to games? How many tickets would you estimate you guys have been able to get bought?
Roughly 5,000-6,000.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And the reaction to the veterans showing up from Memphis football, have you created a bunch of Memphis football fans that may not have been have been involved with the program previously?
Yeah, we've done that too. A couple of years ago, I like telling this story because it's such a cool story. We had a veteran get his first car at like age 63, 64. And that week, Coach Silverfield donated his parking pass. So this veteran, awesome. In the first car he's ever owned, parks his parking spot in Coach Silverfield's spot. Now, how's that not for cool?
That's awesome.
So, you know, it's done wonders. And we have them there for walkthrough every week. And you slapped hands with them yourself.
Yep.
And we just work to try and get as many as we can at the games, and we make sure that the veterans use the tickets. None of them go unused. Mm-hmm. There's actually a demand for it after a while. But you know, it's sometimes these veterans think that nobody cares, to be perfectly blunt. And sometimes when you just hand them that ticket, they're like, okay, what's it cost? Nothing. Just go. You know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot more of that than you realize. Mm-hmm. And it's done wonders for these guys. So
yep.
I'm just ready to get the season going, and let's play 17 games and get on with our business.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the team? New quarterback, new everything, really.
What did I say? We're playing 17 games. Confidence is sexy. I'm Brad Pitt. My philosophy is this. We're fans, right? If we expect a kid to walk out of the tunnel and expect to win the game, shouldn't we?
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I think too many people want a Monday morning quarterback or Saturday morning quarterback or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, as the great Dan Bartow told me, I don't know diddly about football compared to what most fans don't. And knowing the details of it, you know that. You've heard folks say, you know, the play calling is not something that anybody can do. You can just do off the street. Mm-hmm. So you just got to support and be that blind, loyally fan and have a good time with it.
Yep.
And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll bring it up. I don't really want to, but I will. This will be the Chattanooga game will be number 180 in a row.
Mm-hmm. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.